Welcome back, everybody, to the Enterprise Dish, and it's that familiar face again, hanging out in Washington, D.C., and we've got a lot to talk about today. Ducks is back in 2019. How's it going, Ducks?
Happy New Year. Boy, feels like September already.
Well, I hope it's not, because that means, well, Ignite, they pushed back a little bit, but...
November.
Yeah, that's going to throw me off, because I'm going to go to that, and then I'm going to be thinking, all right, here comes Halloween, and here comes everything else, and it's all going to be... It's going to be Thanksgiving when we get back almost. So good stuff. Good holidays. Good January so far.
Man, it's been great. We're off to a good start. Thanks to Microsoft with all the goodness that's going on. Customers loving Microsoft 365. So yeah, it's been a great January. How about you guys?
Yeah. I mean, it's we're off and running. Things have, you know, knock on wood, gone relatively smoothly so far. It's kicking off the new year. New adventures, honestly, because we're doing some big work on Petri. That's kind of the big theme for us this year. Let's get Petri modernized, if you will. And we've got a lot of good stuff coming down the pipeline for that. And I just kind of wish it was all done, just because I'm excited about what's happening. So
that means you guys are going to be fully on board Teams, right?
Yeah, we'll see. We're getting there. I mean, we use a lot of the Microsoft stack, and it's you know, the challenge. And this is, I mean, pretty candid to the topic. I mean, it's so Teams is great, and it's even better, obviously, if you are all in on Microsoft or Office 365. If that is your company, and especially at larger scale, it makes a lot of sense. The thing is we're a very small company, and so deploying all of that product, if you will, it comes with overhead. And so there's challenges that we have as a, what are we, like 15, 16 person company, of managing all of that overhead. And overhead may be a bad term, to get the most out of it. And so it's one of the challenges of a small business.
Well, that's a fair point, right? Like, I get feedback a lot from smaller organizations that, again, it's great for large companies where you have dedicated teams setting up, you know, identity with Azure AD and setting up everything in Office 365 Admin Center. But to get started, I mean, Teams is great, but then you got to make sure your identity is set up, right?
Yep.
You got to make sure everything configured in SharePoint set up, so all the site collections it gets. So there's a lot of that, and that's spot on.
Yeah, and that's the feedback I've given to Microsoft too. I said, we are a perfect company that would go to the Slack Gmail route, because it's just kind of there, and you just kind of walk into it and it's done. Granted, it doesn't have the same level of controls. It doesn't have the same privacy implications, but for a company of our size, that model works. Now, granted, once you get a full IT staff that has five people that can say, oh, Tony Redmond needs access to this folder on OneDrive or SharePoint or whatever, then that becomes a much better structure. And I totally get how people graduate essentially from Slack into Teams and everything else like that.
I mean, Tony's a bad example. He's a one-person IT department.
He is. Tony is for those who aren't familiar, Tony is our resident expert of Office 365. He's kicking out roughly two articles every single week, doing deeper dives than just about anybody else I know on very specific things. But Ducks, I want to dive into Teams as we traditionally do, because Microsoft is actually in London this week at the BETT or BET conference.
Yep.
And they're announcing a lot of stuff for Teams. Basically, they're deeper integration to Flipgrid. They're making it easier for teachers to grade on their mobile apps. One of the things they were talking about for this year, they're trying to do, is trying to get Teams deeper into the education segment, which Microsoft, candidly, has struggled a little bit. They've got stiff competition from Apple with the iPad. They've got stiff competition from from Google with the Chromebook. And Microsoft is now coming in from this Teams angle, and they're talking, they said, now, this is, granted, I think a vanity metric, but we'll see. They said they had 250% growth in Teams in education year over year.
Right. Well, look, education is still one of those markets Microsoft have to figure out, frankly. Like, for example, my son, he goes to a great public school system. One day he comes home and he says, you know, we also have Office 365 and we have Google. And I go, so what do you use in Office 365? He's like, nothing. I go, why not? Because Google is just easy. That's what our teachers use, everybody else use. So going back to your point, right, I think Microsoft is heading towards the right direction. They're coming in certainly with Teams, all these new features, with grading, you know, the Flipgrid acquisition and integration with Teams. But then if you look at their recently announced hardware for Surface Go, it's a new pen, essentially.
Yep.
And then even OneNote, right? Before Teams, OneNote has been really pushed into the education market, and it still is. So I think everything, all the pieces are there, and it's coming together. But it's still a journey. I
Yeah, Microsoft, we'll talk about that pen in a second, but Microsoft, they're working on the narrative for education, and they've been working on it for a while. And granted, their hardware has probably been where it's fallen apart the most, mostly because up until a couple of years ago, they didn't really have any hardware. It says, okay, we have the software for the OEMs, and then Apple and Google come in with their great hardware or whatever. That's one of the spaces I'm watching Microsoft very closely. For much like yourself, I have a daughter who's entering first grade next year, and they are currently not a Microsoft school. They use Chromebooks and iPads, and I'm curious to see how this materializes over the next coming years, because Microsoft is putting a lot of money into that. I mean, the Flipgrid acquisition, and they know that they need this is a must win, and so it'll be fun to watch them.
And I think there's a bigger play to this, right? As we all know, certainly there's only so much revenue they can get from education, but it's really educating the next generation workforce. It's influencing them, right? Like my son, again, is a good example, right? Even after school, the way he communicates with his classmates or his friends at school is through GChat. It's so natural. Like I see him working on his power or not even PowerPoint, but his presentation on Google Slides, right? I asked him, why not PowerPoint? He's like, well, it's easy. It's so simple. I go to the browser, I log into Google Apps, and it's there. And then he would show me PowerPoint where he has to wait, although in my opinion, it's not long. The client comes up and to him, it's easy.
And it goes back to what is the teacher accepting as well. If the teacher's accepting an assignment on Google Docs or whatever, that plays a big part of it. But it's an interesting space because Microsoft is known as a productivity company and they do a great job, but education is a battleground for them. And so I th that's kind of where I hope we see the most innovation come out of Microsoft, because it's somewhere that they can't just say, okay, these are enterprise features, data security is all great and whatnot, but that doesn't translate always super well to the teacher environment.
But one thing though, related to that, is Microsoft, you can see they're investing heavily now on the user experience with the investment in the new Fluent design language. I mean, I don't know if you saw in your Office 365 or Office client, they're updating little things, right? Making the menu simpler and easier, because it goes back to the whole research that while you may have a great productivity tool, be it Excel or PowerPoint or Word, people only use 10, 15, maybe tops 20% of what's there, right? So, I'm starting to see Microsoft going back to the basics. Less is more. So it's interesting to see where Microsoft will take it.
I completely agree. One thing I do want to hit on, though, is the pen that you talked about. Microsoft is calling it the classroom pen. So I'm honestly very intrigued by this thing. It's mostly because I can't buy one. This is the one frustrating point. So it's going to be about $40, and you have to buy them in packs of 20, which means you're spending about $800 to get them. But the
What?
thing, that's the downside of this. Is like the traditional Microsoft pen is $100,
Yeah,
and so
it's
they have
just
this.
cheaper. Per pen is cheaper.
But we can't buy one unless we buy them in a pack of 20, if they would even sell it to us, which is really disappointing because I have a daughter and you have kids as well. And I'd much rather give my daughter a $40 really durable stylus than the $100 with pen that has 4,000 points of sensitivity that she doesn't need.
Well, you know what? We have collectively about 20 friends online, so we can all
Group buy right
partner.
here.
Yeah,
That's what we
exactly.
should be doing. But we gotta shift agendas here, Ducks. I hear you guys are doing something.
Well, a couple of things. So first and foremost, very, very excited that we're hosting our very first conference, and it's going to be here in Washington, D.C. is an event called Shift Happens Conference. And unlike your run-of-the-mill conference where everybody talks about why you should digitally transform or the value of digital transformation, we want to bring you stories from the trenches. So this conference, it's all about how you digitally transform. And you'll hear from your peers and industry heavy hitters around how they've done it. We've got the chief data officer of MasterCard coming, the director of Collab for Merck. We have government institutions coming, just being open about how they did it, the good, the bad, the ugly. So we're really excited about this, June 12 and 13. And Brad, I'm so excited that you can make it, you know, Mary Jo can make it, and Paul as well. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, the whole we sometimes refer to ourselves as the clan because we travel to a lot of places together. We will absolutely be there. We're going to be doing some podcasting, some interviews, some videography, if you will. I'm looking forward to it. One, I really like Washington, D.C. Two, I will be in exceptionally good mood because I'm going to be coming. We're actually circling back through D.C. off of vacation. So I'm going to be coming from the beach, going to be nice and relaxed, go get some education, if you will. And this is going to be fun. I think this is going to be a good one.
And with our keynotes too, right? So we've got folks from Microsoft Keynote and Jeff Teper. Everybody knows Jeff Teper, the father of SharePoint.
Yep.
We've got Toni Townes-Whitley. She heads up the U.S. regulated industries business. Essentially, her team looks after government, financial services, healthcare, and just really sharing thoughts on what her team is seeing around customers in these industries and how they're digitally transforming. We've got Ray Wang from Constellation Research. I'm sure a lot of you know Ray. And then Cheryl McKinnon from Forrester, who'll talk about what the modern workplace looks like for information and records management. And then last but not the least, we have Stephen Murphy coming to talk about how to transform. And if you guys don't know who Stephen Murphy is, he was responsible for the eventual capture of Pablo Escobar.
What? That'll be interesting.
So if you watch Narcos season one, you would know who Stephen Murphy is. And not the actor,
Yeah.
the real Stephen Murphy.
That's going to be fun. And Ducks, when is that again? It's in June.
June 12th to 13th in Washington, D.C. And the website is shifthappenscon.com.
That is the Ducks has a way with marketing, and that is a perfect name for a conference.
Just be careful with your autocorrect.
Yeah, I was going to say the first thing that came to my mind is when you're filling out that expense report, make sure it's
Shift with
yes.
an F.
You don't need the auditors coming and saying, "Why? What was this for?" Awesome. Awesome stuff, Ducks. Now, and by the way, everybody, there'll be a link to that website in the video description and all that stuff. So if you're looking to go, which you should, make sure to click that link and you'll find out everything you'll need to know. All right, Ducks, question of the month. This is a big year for Windows 7. There's ballparking 400-ish million people still running Windows 7. On January, roughly middle of January 2020, it will expire and no longer be supported. Do you think the majority of people are going to migrate, or what do you think we're going to be talking about with Windows 7 in January? How many do you just ballpark it? What do you think we're going to see?
I would say, just based on historical data, you know, back in XP, you know, XP was a big deal. Vista was really never there, but 2000, and I would say by January, 50, 60%. That's my take.
All right. Well, we are going to. I'm cataloging. Well, they're literally being recorded. Everybody's estimates, and we will see in a year from now. I think it's going to be an interesting year. There's obviously going to be a massive push from Microsoft to get everybody's off because it's not only Windows 7, but you also have Office, I believe, 2010 expiring in October of this year. And so Microsoft, they've got a bang bang thing going here, and they're trying to get everyone to Microsoft 365. And we'll see what happens.
I mean, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Satya was in an event. He was talking about really pushing hard on Microsoft 365 and potentially a consumer edition of it too. And I think that's, for me, a great play. And just making it simpler and bundling everything together, you know, be Windows, Office 365, and EMS. And the acceleration of adoption, I think, would be faster if it's done that way.
I tend to agree, and we'll see what the year ahead has for Microsoft, but I don't think you're too far from the mark, to be honest. All right, Ducks, back of the podcast here. It's time for Ducks's Dish. What's going on in your life? What do you got for the year ahead? Any closing remarks before we shut her down?
All right, so boy, this year we're doubling down and focused on helping organizations really adopt Microsoft Teams. And Microsoft Teams brings so much value. And one of the feedback we get from customers all the time is, Teams is great, we love it, but where do we start, right? Number one, how do we pilot Teams? How do we drive adoption? And related to those two things is how do we ensure we govern it in a way that we're not hindering people from using it, but at the same time, we're taking care of crown jewels. So we're doing a lot of that work around the world. So if you guys are interested or you have questions around that, just check us out, hit me up. And we are providing a lot of free education from webinars, ebooks, blogs, to workshops around the world in partnership with Microsoft. So we're doing tons of that. So my dish is driving Microsoft Teams adoption.
There we go. And that's going to be, it's going to be an ongoing theme for a long time, mostly because a lot of people are on Skype for Business, and we've got that product, well, essentially being sunset. It's not officially gone yet, but it's, you know, if you're not transitioning, you need to start thinking about it, because that's going to be, it's going to become a thing.
That's right, my friend. How about you? What's your dish?
You know, I didn't want to say this publicly because I don't want to hold myself to it, but here we are, and I believe the transparency is the best thing. So last year, both my wife and I, we wear Apple Watches, and we both go to the gym and whatnot. And
it's obvious.
Yeah. She got the little monthly award every single month. It gets intense. Like at one point she was having to do like 5 miles a day to earn the challenge. So one of my personal goals, and we'll see, it's going to be tough, is to try to get that award every single month. And so I've got it for January. And so my dish is everybody keep on my butt to ask how I'm doing, because the best motivation is public shaming. And so I don't know if I want to commit to this, Ducks, but I had this crazy idea, and I know you love crazy ideas, of doing an Ignite 5K, because I know by that time of the year.
Let's do it. In fact, I've done it before where let's take it up a notch. Let's do a 5K. And certainly I'd be happy to help organize, put this together, and let's do it a fundraiser too.
I'm all about it. I just have no idea what my challenges are going to be, because I know what my wife went through to get it every single month. And so my dish is to let's stay healthy, let's stay active, let's get off our butts, and let's try to keep moving.
All right, let's do that.
All right, Ducks, very much appreciate your time today. Everybody else, make sure to hit that subscribe button. Go check out that Shift Happens conference. I'll be there. Paul will be there. Mary Jo will be there. We're going to be a lot of good stuff in Washington, D.C. It's a great place for the family, to be honest. I'm bringing my family as well. And that wraps it up for this time, and we'll catch you guys next time on the Enterprise Dish.
Bye.